Amen. Good to have Ansel with us, Ansel Morley.
Amen.
And he's the other brother.
The one and only.
The one and only. And he does have a girlfriend.
Amen.
He has three.
Yes, three.
I'd like to edit that from the live video.
We'll see him after. Check on that, okay? Good to see you all here and a good crowd for this tonight. Let's continue as we were here in the sanctuary praying for the young people out there as they minister in the master clubs. A lot of energy out there in the fellowship hall tonight. And so Acts chapter 13 tonight. Acts chapter 13. Now, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. And let me give you a quick review. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. He is real. And the Holy Spirit indwells the believer at salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit can fill the believer. And we looked at that last week, the filling of the Spirit. We looked at some things and that we explained the indwelling, the difference between the indwelling and baptism. They're sort of synonymous. The Holy Spirit doesn't baptize anybody. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 12, I forget what it's first or second, but talks about for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's talking about water baptism. There's no one body of believers. There's local churches in the New Testament. You say, well, preacher, what does the Bible call everybody that's saved? Calls them the family of God.
Amen.
And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit was, as far as the indwelling is, it took place in Acts chapter 2, whereby the Holy Spirit indwelt everybody that was saved at that time, and everybody forward that would be saved is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 tells us if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't know Christ.
Amen.
You say, well, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? If you're saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, you have all the Holy Spirit you'll ever have.
Amen.
Okay? The question is, how much of you does the Holy Spirit have?
Amen.
That's the question. So tonight, I we've looked at the fact that we were talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not a choice as far as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That comes with salvation. But it is your choice to be indwelt by are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we learn that we need to ask. We learn that we need to be clean. We learn that we need to be emptied of self, poor in spirit, begging. That word poor in spirit, the Beatitudes, verse 5 of that chapter, it's talking about being a beggar. Have you ever begged God for the Holy Spirit? Have you ever begged God for His presence above everything else? Mm-hmm. And so tonight I want us to think about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And here's the question, what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. What the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Look at Acts chapter 13, and I want you to look at verse 52. Notice the verse. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now we're going to look at this chapter. We're going to look at this chapter, but let me give you five things by way of introduction so we're understanding where we are. Number one, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a definite experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's a definite experience. It's not something that comes with. It's a definite experience. It says they were all filled. The Holy Spirit, whether you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior or not, that's the beginning point. But whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit is a choice. And it's not something that the Holy Spirit... Let me say this. The Holy Spirit of God wants to indwell us. He wants us to be saved. He's involved in that. When the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit convicts. When the Word of God and the Holy Spirit come together, that's a nuclear reaction, spiritually speaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's a definite decision that we have to make. And let me just say, it's not a lottery. It's not. Well, I hope if I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and I do everything I'm supposed to according to the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you. Huh? It's like sitting at the restaurant. You all ever been to a restaurant where they give you refills? You ever do that? And the waitress comes up and she starts to pour. Well, if you pull your glass away, they're not going to be able to fill it. Right? And it's a definite experience. These disciples were definitely filled with the Holy Spirit. Now notice again, being filled with the Holy Spirit is more than being indwelt, and I've already established that. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit at salvation, but being filled with the Holy Spirit is your Christian life and your desire and your willingness to do what God wants you to do concerning being ready to be filled. And then, again, I want you to notice this in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. It's talking about the disciples, and they were filled with joy. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is God's plan and his provision so we can understand his will. You don't understand what God's doing in your life. You're frustrated with what God's doing in your life. You don't have a direction with what God wants you to do. You're lost as a goose in a snowstorm. That's because you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You understand. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is an ultimate teaching time.
Amen.
It's as if God, as if you're a whiteboard and God can write on you everything he needs you to know. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And God, the being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're ready to be taught because you're ready to receive. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're emptied of self. Huh? If you're filled with the Spirit, your sin is confessed. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're not thinking about yourself or other things that don't matter. You're thinking about God. You want Jesus to work in your heart. You're looking at his word. You're taking it all in.
Amen.
Now, let me give you this. Let me give you another thing. By implication, to be filled with the Spirit means to be emptied of all that is contrary to God.
Amen.
By the way, there are some things that are not exactlys. I think there's some times when we call what we're doing worship and it's not exactly worship.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? I think there's some times when we're praising the Lord, it's not exactly praise. It's, you know, we're just going with the flow and trying to get with the crowd and are trying to draw attention to ourselves. That's not exactly.
Right.
There are a lot of things that go on in churches that are contrary to what God really wants for us. And by God's grace in our church, we want to truly worship God and lift Jesus Christ up.
Amen.
That's what we want to do. It's not lifting a preacher up or a denomination or a church or anybody else. It's lifting Jesus up. And so we understand that by implication, everything else is pushed aside. Now, and these may be good things. Being filled with the Holy Spirit may mean that you need to push your family aside because God wants to speak to you.
Amen.
Amen.
You remember Jesus talked to the man? I got to go bury somebody. Yeah, and there's no excuse. So by implication, we're emptied of everything that's contrary. Now, let me give you this and we'll move on. And by the way, you can look at verse 45. Look at verse 45 in our text. Look what it says. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. They weren't filled with the Spirit. That's contrary. Okay? Now, let me give you this fifth introductory statement. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, certain things will happen. Certain things will happen. When I went to college in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they had the paper they call the Chattanooga Times and the Chattanooga Free Press. Two different papers. There's always two papers. There's always They're always competing. And it was during the summer, and they had the softball league. And there's this church down there. It was called the Church of What's Happening Now. And the sports page, they had men's softball league church, and they had church league, and it says, the church of what's happening now, let it happen last night. They whooped all over the team. Hey, listen, let me just say something. When the Holy Spirit fills you, something's going to happen. Now, you don't know, but he fills you for a purpose. If you are so daring, if you are so bold, if you are so hungry, and you crave God to just take over, and you allow him to fill your life, he's going to do something. He's going to do it through you. Now, you're going to be a spectator. All glory is going to go to God, but he's going to do something. There. We talk about this country, and we say, well, downtown has got to change for this country to have revival, and this has got to change before this country. Let me just tell you something. God's churches and God's pulpits have to change.
That's Amen.
Right. That's right.
They have to be filled with the Spirit of God. There's nothing more exciting than a Sunday school teacher on Sunday morning filled with the Spirit of God teaching kids.
Amen.
There's nothing more exciting than that. There's nothing more exciting than ushers receiving the offering filled with the Spirit. Huh? There's nothing more than, and you pray for them, our media people filled with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm just kidding. But you think about it. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And so you take it. It's combustible. And my son, Patrick, he's my life verse for my son. When I talk about it, there's a verse in the gospel that says, pray for my son, for he's a lunatic. That's how I pray for Patrick. But he had this, I forget what it was, but this cleanser. It was, I forget the name of the cleanser now, but he bought 4 or 5 bottles, and somebody told him, if you take and ball up aluminum foil balls in there and drop it in there, you've done that. You're a lunatic too. Your brother's a lunatic. And so he stuck it outside this apartment of these two guys in the church that came to the church, and they shared an apartment. And man, that thing blew up, and man, they had the police there and everything. But when you put, you all have been in chemistry. You kids have chemistry where they tell you not to put certain things with certain things because it's going to, there's a chemical reaction. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. When God, the Holy Spirit fills you, there's going to be, something's going to happen. Now, let me give you some things tonight. And this is good. This is good stuff. And I want to challenge you. And man, I'm still working on this myself. You say, why? Because I'm still breathing. Every day we start over, amen? Amen? This is the first day of the rest of your life. I want to give you 3 things tonight. I hope you write these down. I hope you get them. I want you to think about this. First of all, when the Holy Spirit fills you, when he fills you, there is great power and effectiveness in witnessing. Think about that. If folks, how many of you have friends or loved ones that need to be saved? Raise your hand. And let me tell you something. Have you ever talked to them and it just seems like you're not getting through? Hey, you need to ask for the filling of the Spirit. To say, God, fill me. Whatever you need to do. Hey, he gives you effectiveness for witnessing. Notice verse 44 in the chapter. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear what?
The word of God.
Wow. That's historical. The whole city. That meant they closed the stores down. They closed the liquor stores down. They closed everything down. Everybody went to hear the word of God. Say, why? These guys were filled with the Holy Spirit. See. Notice in verse 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have what? Should first have been spoken to you. Well, the word of who? The word of God, not the word of man, not the latest issues, not the political, not the financial, not the sports, the word of God.
Amen.
Man, they let it rip. They gave the word of God. And notice it goes on. The word of God should have first been spoken unto you, but seeing ye have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You know what he's saying? He's saying you Jews are following the Judaism. You're listening to these Pharisees. You're listening to the devil, and we're going to witness to the Gentiles too. Now that was not that. That's fighting words. Mm-hmm. They hated the Gentiles. Jews called the Gentiles dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Notice what it says in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were what?
Glad.
And glorified the word of the Lord as many as were ordained to eternal life. What? What does it say?
Believed.
By the way, let me say this again. I'll say it again Sunday. I'll say it again next Wednesday. I'll say it again that next Sunday. I'm gonna be a broken record on this, Marissa. How do you get saved? You believe.
Amen.
Believe. Now you can get into your theology class and your theology books, and you can dissect it, you can turn it upside down, you can shake it together, and you can cut it, and you can split the atoms in it, but it just comes out belief.
Yep.
Believe, believe, believe. The thief on the cross was not baptized, he wasn't catechized, he wasn't homogenized, he just believed.
Amen.
What are we doing? What are we doing making it complicated when we witness to people?
Exactly. Amen.
Why do we make it complicated? Why do we insert ourselves and try to put our little two cents in and mess things up?
Exactly.
Amen. Get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit work.
Right.
They were effective. Look at what it says in verse 49. And the word of the Lord was what? Published. That meant it wasn't these guys speaking. It was the people that heard it were echoing what they said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had little preachers going out everywhere. Can you imagine? I mean, would you like to have been there in that city watching people get saved?
Amen.
I mean, it was a great day. No, notice again, we'll be bold and fearless in the face of bitter opposition. Folks, we're going to have opposition. We're going to continue to have opposition. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. These people that say we're going to have national religion, or national revival, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying we can't. I can't. I'm not saying it won't happen, but things are going to get bad before they get better. Okay? The only thing that we have is the Holy Spirit of God to comfort us and go with us. He's our paraclete. He comes alongside. He's there with us. Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's right here with us. But let me just tell you something. I don't think national revival is on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you scrape away everything that's happening, young people. You scrape away the things that are happening and you see things in the news and we think, well, what are those people doing? Let me just tell you something. They hate churches and they hate the Bible.
Right.
That's right.
It begins with what they believe about creation and goes on from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they faced opposition. Look at verse 45. It says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things. So here you got some people mocking. And then in verse 50, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. I mean, they'd had enough. Brother Ben Potter is up. Ben Potter's up in Bennington, Vermont. Now I don't know what if he bumped his head or something, but he went up there to start a church in Bennington, Vermont.
Amen.
And are you talking about a liberal state, Vermont?
Yes.
Their hearts are as cold as their temperatures.
Yeah.
You say, how do you know it's cold up there? I lived in Williamstown, Massachusetts, right over the line from Vermont. Snow all the time. Cold. And he witnessed to this lady. This lady came to his church and got saved. And she said, I want you to talk to my mama. And her mama rejected Christ and died without Christ. Now, folks, there's always going to be opposition. He says in his letter that they threatened when he was going to start the church to protest.
Are you serious?
In America, people protesting churches started. Young people, that was unheard of years ago. You live in the last days.
Yeah.
You do.
I believe that.
You live in the last days. So there's always going to be opposition. And let me just say, and I want you to notice, the Bible says to us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's our marching orders. And God says, and let me get you to turn back there to Matthew. I want to point something out. Matthew 28. Help Darian get there, Marissa. He doesn't know where it is. Matthew 28. And look at what it says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. What you say, what's that talking about? Discipleship.
Yeah.
Okay? Notice what it says in the last part of that verse. And lo, I am with you always. Even on in the command for us to go and tell others, God says, I'm going to be with you. You say he's not going to be with us any other. Oh yeah, he's going to be with you. But you need him with you when you're talking to other people about salvation.
Amen.
God calls you to be a missionary. You need the Holy Spirit. When you go to witness to people, you need. By the way, when we witness, don't just treat it as a thing. Well, I'm out here out on visitation. Just it's a serious business.
Exactly, amen. Brother. Amen. Yes,
Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's all he did. And we're to do the same thing. So the Holy Spirit, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have great power and effectiveness in witnessing. Now, secondly, I want you to notice this, and this is just as important. There will be discernment to understand God's plan.
True, brother.
Now, what are you talking about? I want you to look. They explained back in chapter 13, they explained that the gospel was first given to the Jews, and then the Jews rejected it. And you know what Paul and Barnabas said? You know what Paul said? Well, the Gentiles need Jesus too. He said, how did that come about? Discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just kind of give you a foundation to understand what discernment is. When I was growing up, my mother, my aunts, my grandmothers had eyes in the back of their head. Not only that, they knew what I was thinking. You know, it's easy to figure little kids out because we don't hide anything. The older we get, we try to hide things. But they knew what we were doing. On a larger scale, the Holy Spirit indwells us to give us discernment, to tell us, and to warn us.
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong here. Something's up here. Something's not happening. Now, I enjoy driving. I like to drive. And there's sometimes when I'm driving on the road that my discernment tells me to back off a little bit, because there's a bunch of people up in front of me and they're in a hurry and they think they're NASCAR drivers, and here come two ninjas cutting in through and out, and there's going to be a whole lot of hurting on people's wallets and maybe their bodies. And I've backed off many times and there's accidents. You say, why? Well, you just discern that. Now, that's not a spiritual discernment. What I'm saying is, you as a Christian, the Holy Spirit there is to say to you, hey, something's up here.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit right now is saying to you, hey, listen up, because I want to fill you. The Holy Spirit reaches down And when the preacher's preaching, it's like the preacher points his finger and it comes down the aisle and turns into your row and comes right there and points you right between your eyes.
True, brother. That's true.
That's the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ, if you're born again according to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will convict you when you're doing wrong. And He will convict you to do right. That's discernment. I want you to notice verse 51 in the chapter. Chapter 13, look at verse 51. What does it say? But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. Now, you say, preacher, that's kind of mean. They shook the dust off. What were they saying? They were saying, we're through here. Mm-hmm. God's through with us here. God's through with us here, right? If you want to really understand the direction of the Holy Spirit and the discernment of the Holy Spirit, in chapter 16, you read about chapter 16, and Paul wanted to go to a certain city. You can read that, and it said the Spirit forbade us. Said, we want to go in here and start a church here, but the Spirit forbade us. Why? Because God wanted them to start a church at Philippi. And so they went to see Lydia. They were followed by that lady that was had the spirit of divination. She got saved. They got threw in jail, and then the jailer got saved. And that was the starting of the church at Philippi. Why? How? The filling and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Discernment. Discernment. You know what? We do dumb things. They don't make a shirt with the hand pointing at yourself that says, I'm with stupid, but we could wear that shirt a lot. We botch things up. I years ago when I first got married, had these Bic pens and I'd turn it the wrong side. I looked down and the pen had exploded in my pocket. And you know what I did? I went to the bathroom and started rubbing it. Well, that little spot like that got to be like that. So I come home with a big old circle blue right there. I just made matters worse. I've told the men in the church, don't give me tools and let me get under the hood of your vehicle because I could total it. Why? Because I can mess things up. Turn the wrong nut or bolt and here spring goes off and things start flying everywhere and you don't know where they are and pieces of this and pieces of that. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God is there to help you to stay out of trouble and to stay on track with God. Now, so the Holy Spirit gives us boldness and power for witnessing. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment. That's great things. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you something else that we see here. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And I want to connect this. I want to connect this to the thought there. It says there that they were filled with joy and with the Spirit of God. Do you know what the Holy Spirit, do you know what filling the Holy Spirit will give you? It will give you the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 15, it talks about the fruit, to bear fruit. It also talks about the Spirit. And then Paul says to the church at Galatia, he says, listen, here's what happens when the Holy Spirit is in control of your life. Look what it says in verse 22. But the fruit, now it's a flip side of the verses. Look at verse 18. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it gives you the works of the flesh. And then verse 22, it says, but look at it. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things. Now, what is it saying? It's saying your life will reflect these characteristics. Those are good things. Those are good things. Now look at that phrase right after those. What's it say, Glade, at the end of the list? Against such there what? There's no law. You know, even the nastiest people like that, that have that kind of testimony. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, honor. What is that? That's me saying, Holy Spirit, point out my sin. Because you might have missed a spot. You might have missed something. Holy Spirit, I'm moving out. Darian and Marissa finally got moved out. You got to move yourself out of yourself. God will not play second fiddle in your orchestra. He must, you got to move yourself, die to self. Okay? And then you say, Lord, I want to be filled. Now, this is not something Pentecostal, Baptist-costal. It's not something crazy. It's just simply God filling you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That nasty music some of you listen to on your phones is wicked.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about us.
Amen.
David said, I will set no evil thing before mine eye.
All right.
He messed up and he did and got in trouble. Mm-hmm. Trash in, trash out. You listen to, you read the wrong things, you hang with the wrong people, you desire the wrong styles, you desire the wrong lifestyle, and let me tell you something, you will regret it and you'll remember this preacher telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
One day. But you'll never regret. You'll never be sad. You'll never say, why did I do that? When you completely yield to the filling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Years ago, they used to have the itinerant preacher. Some of you have read about that. If you haven't read about itinerant preachers, they're great reads if you can get some books. But they would go from places to places and preach for those people. And one night, this preacher came, and he was in the room. They gave him a room to get himself ready, and he was sitting in a chair in the room, and the door was closed, and the people were sitting there, and they were waiting. They sent a little lad back to the room, and they said, see when the preacher's coming. And he got ready to knock on the door, and he heard the preacher saying, I can't do it without you. I'm not going out there without you. I've got to have you with me. So he went back. He said, he'll be out here directly, and the other one's coming too. And folks, don't go witnessing. Don't go out into life. Don't try to do something for God without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Thanksgiving is a good day to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because you'll see family, possibly, that you can witness to. And you might see family that know Christ that you can encourage. Amen? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. You say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up? Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to embarrass anybody. God bless you. You may put your hands down. You say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody here like that? I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I can't say that. You're here and you say, preacher, God spoke to me. He spoke to my heart. And I want the Holy Spirit of God to fill me. I want Him to use me. I desire that in my life. Now, that means you'll have to make some decisions to change some things. And I'm afraid there are some people here that are not willing to do that. But I'm speaking to the ones that are willing. You say, preacher, I want the Holy Spirit to fill my life. I want the Holy Spirit to give me power when I'm witnessing, discernment, and I want the Holy Spirit to just change my life in a way that nobody else can. You say, preacher, God spoke to me during the message. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, young people. God bless you. Don't be afraid to raise it up. takes boldness sometimes around your peers, but now you're hearing you say, "Preacher, I'm here tonight, and I know what you preached was important, but I've got a burden on my heart, and I want you to pray that God works in my life with this burden. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and just put it back down? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation, and work in our hearts as only you can, in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays. If God spoke to you, just step out. God's speaking to your heart. God's speaking to your heart. What about you, teenagers? Are you willing to get alone with God? Adults, are you willing to get alone with God and just talk to God a little bit? He spoke to you. He wants you to speak back to Him. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, use me. Holy Spirit, give me fruit that the world can see. Good to see you tonight. Hey, I heard the girls beat the boys at putt-putt. I saw pictures, Christian. You were hitting it out of the rocks. How did you get that ball in the rocks? It's putt. It's not kill it. We need to talk, guys. This can't happen again. Amen. Well, listen, if we don't see you before Thanksgiving, have a happy Thanksgiving. Got some day. You all got Friday off? You off tomorrow too? Hey, man. Good stuff. And hope to see you back soon. And have a good Thanksgiving. Enjoy your relatives. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Thank God for the evening. Brother Walter, how about closing for us, would you?
Heavenly Father, tonight was a blessing, God, to hear such a teaching about the Holy Spirit, to God, what the Holy Spirit can do, dear Father. That was a blessing, God. Heavenly Father, those give everyone type of mercy, travel out of town for Thanksgiving, dear Lord, and just bless that day for us, all of us, dear God. And give us safe travels out there, Lord Jesus, and safety. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.